Welcome to Wrestling Travel Podcast, episode 9. And what an incredible week, few days it has been so far in the wrestling world. So many things to talk about. Where to start, I'm not sure, but we do have some fantastic guests, of course, to discuss all the action and analysis with. We've got our host of the Lockdown Sessions, Justin Clapper, who's also our US representative, and also SportsKeeda's senior journalist, Tom Collihue. Unfortunately, I didn't manage to get Genius in this week there, Tom, for you. But
very disappointed in you.
but no, it's great as always to have you on indeed. First of all, where to start? I think we have to start last Friday with a shocking development of Roman Reigns aligning himself with Paul Heyman. Justin, was that a shock for you to see those two align with each other?
Yeah, definitely a shock, but I was also pretty excited about it. I'm loving to see what they're going to do with Reigns. I love Heyman. I don't know, you guys might know, if this has anything to do with the Brock Lesnar contract talks, but yeah, I'm pretty excited. Interested to hear what you guys take.
Yeah, I mean, it was a shock for, obviously, when he was slowly building into it, saying it's not a prediction, that's a spoiler. And he had Paul Heyman looking at him, smiling. It certainly drew some goosebumps indeed. But of course, Roman went on to then win the Universal Championship at Payback just a few days later, signing the contract mid-match, inserting himself in there and winning what he claimed is rightfully his. Tom, how do you think the Roman Reigns-Paul Heyman alliance has gone so far?
So far, it's been a massive success. It's a sign of the difficulty sometimes in podcasting. We are, of course, recording this on a Thursday. It's been 6 days, and it feels like, because so much has happened, it feels like it's been about 2 years since they finally aligned. This is something that's been in the works for a long time. Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns have a lot of natural respect between each other. And they were first, the idea pitched of these two working together around WrestleMania 31 nearly 6 years ago.
Wow.
So, or in fact, more than 6 years ago, I'm not sure what our last WrestleMania was because I don't number them anymore. But long term, this was something they definitely wanted to do, but it was definitely encouraged by the fact that Brock Lesnar is currently without a contract for the WWE, though he technically was without a contract for a while. But when Paul Heyman was removed from the executive director role, it was specific in WWE's statement that he would be working on his in-ring career. His in-ring career at the time was Brock Lesnar only. And the reason they said that is because Brock Lesnar was still under contract, at least in some capacity at the time. Now that Brock Lesnar, there are no plans to use him for the foreseeable future until the pandemic is cleared enough that he is ready to return. This is a logical step. It is a good step, and it is a very exciting step, even though I will say signing a contract in the middle of a match, that's not the way you should be going about doing things, WWE.
Yeah, it was a bit... Yeah, because in terms of just from a logical standpoint, of course, just obviously he wouldn't have known that spot with the ring breaking, etc., was coming in. Sort of if it was real life, and obviously one of those other guys could have won before he even came out to do that. So it there was a few holes in that there, of course. But Justin, in terms of obviously you mentioned there about Brock Lesnar, obviously they're not looking to use him until they sort of need him, obviously, in front of a crowd there. Do you think this will now elevate Roman Reigns to be that guy they've always wanted, WWE have always wanted him to be, even if he is this heel?
I think he's got a better shot right now than he's ever had. What's happened is, with his leukemia diagnosis and everything, he's had a chance to appeal to the fans. So the fans have actually appreciated Roman Reigns more in the past and come to love him and love his story. And now he turns heel. And that's classic pro wrestling right there, where instead of being shoved down his throat as the man, he kind of naturally built that up during his diagnosis. The fans really got behind him. Now he aligns himself with Heyman, and I think he's this is the start of something really good.
Yeah, 100% there indeed. And in terms of payback, I personally was expecting an appearance from Retribution. Of course, they didn't appear at SummerSlam. They didn't appear at Payback, but they did cause some chaos on Monday Night Raw. And from my understanding, from what I've been reading, they are now going to be exclusive to Raw only. Tom, any updates on Retribution there?
There has been a lot of backstage debate about Retribution since about a week before it formally was launched. There were changes to the intended storyline, firstly because they weren't supposed to be announced as they were, but the information was leaked ahead of time by a wrestling journalist, and then they sort of twisted on the fly. Since then, Retribution's been booked pretty much on a day-by-day basis. There are people in WWE who want them on every show, tearing up every match. There are people in WWE who want them never to appear at all. Right now, SmackDown has got top storylines that people are really interested in. Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman, Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks and Bayley. When I do live streams, those are the questions I get asked about most. Right after that is Retribution. So at least Raw, if they are in fact unique to Raw now, as has been reported, I think they at least have one solid storyline that is exciting people to build off. They just need a few more now.
Yeah, no, SmackDown is very very heavy with some great storylines there indeed. But yeah, I'm certainly keeping an eye on to see where obviously Retribution go. I know I've been reading some things, people are getting a little bored of them already, but hopefully they will do.
Yeah, I'll check in right there. I'm done. They're going to have to really wow me at this point. Which I'm sure they will, but as of right now, who cares? In my point, you know, my standpoint, I'm not even really, unless they're going to come back with some big names and do something, they're not a big part of my, I need to watch because of Retribution. They're meh. So that's my two cents.
The future, unfortunately, doesn't look particularly bright for them when you consider the people who've been under the masks. Yes, I know that to diehard fans, Mia Yim, Mercedes Martinez, who were under the masks this week, are very, very exciting people. However, to a casual audience, I don't know who those people are. Now, obviously, I do, but speaking as a casual fan, if I was a casual fan, I wouldn't know who they were. What they have done on Raw is attack a few people. They attacked the Mysterios last week. This week, they attacked the Street Profits and Andrade. They're not really doing much because right after they attacked the Street Profits and Andrade, they cut to a video package and then got on with the show. Nothing happened. There was no recourse. They didn't actually wreck anything. They've been doing more interesting things on SmackDown, but really when you look at it, they cut apart the ring when the show was already over. They moved it to a commercial break when a commercial break was due. If anything, this just sounds like Vince McMahon trying to ensure he has a good show.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's, I mean, personally, I'm interested to see exactly where it does go and what direction it's going in, but yeah, we'll obviously keep an eye on and see where it does, and hopefully it will pick up a bit more steam in the coming weeks. But moving back to the weekend, New Japan Pro Wrestling Summer Struggle event in Jingu Stadium there. It looks absolutely spectacular, isn't it? With all the pyro and all the fans in the stadium, with Tetsuya Naito winning the titles from Evil Tom. Were you happy to see that moment at the end there?
I was happy to see the moment. I was certainly surprised by it. I felt we were heading towards Evil versus Sanada and maybe a longer term thing. But I think Naito winning here sets up Evil for a very good G1. It was a great show just across the board. And the main event, even though for me it was probably one of the weaker matches, it does give you that massive moment for Tetsuya Naito that he didn't really have at Wrestle Kingdom because of the interference of Kenta. So he got his roll call, even though there's one fewer name now. LIJ, I've got to say, they're in trouble. Naito's the only one who had any sort of success on the night. And really, they could do with some new blood or just something new.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of obviously the talent and things, I believe that just with the information that we've got that foreign residents currently who are outside of Japan are able to sort of now return. So I don't know if that will affect some of the talent who have been obviously away. So I believe people like Will Ospreay, for example, has some accommodation out in Japan. I don't know if that means he may be able to return soon. So maybe we will see the roster bulking up a little bit more. But Justin, are you gutted to see Evil and your favourite valet, Dick Togo, lose the titles?
I am. As you know, I have a hard time following New Japan in my current location, so I kind of rely on all the dirt sheets. But yes, I'm. It sucks that we won't have Dick anymore at the top, but I know that I know if anybody can make. Oh God, I gotta stop. It was gonna be bad. I was gonna say that, you know, I know Dick can make a comeback with anybody. So, but yeah, New Japan's interesting. Pardon the cheap pop right there, but yeah, I'll stop while I'm ahead. If I'm even ahead, help me out here, call it you.
Got it. I don't think Dick is going anywhere. I think if anything, Dick's still going to be really high on the agenda. We're going to see Dick as involved as possible going forwards. I would be really excited to see Tetsuya Naito take on Dick Togo for the Intercontinental Championship. I think for the age of Dick, Dick can still perform. Dick can still go. And I think that would be a really logical progression and would probably lend it to separating those titles. I think they've got a lock on them, and that's an issue. Whereas maybe we could have Dick Togo taking the championship and losing it to Shingo Takagi, who I feel is very deserving of an IC championship run. When it comes to people coming back, I would be very surprised if the G1 did not feature Jay White. But then the most important thing for me is making sure we have as much Dick as possible.
Justin, any thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with everything Tom said. Very, very well put.
Fantastic. And we did have some big news over here in the UK this week, of course. NXT UK will be returning very soon and being broadcast from the BT Sports Studios, which, if you haven't seen the small teaser video of the setup they've got there, it looks absolutely fantastic. Tom, any news on how long they will be at the BT Sports Studio? And obviously, with the stuff that's been going on in recent months, of course, it will be a full roster there, of course.
It will, and for the foreseeable future, they will be there pretty much full time. This isn't their first choice, I should make that clear. They've been searching quite desperately for a shooting location for a while now. They wanted to bring NXT UK back. There was a meeting not long before they announced the return where they talked over all their options, particularly in light of the speaking out movement, and said, some people were saying, should we shut it down? Some people were saying, should we start reshooting? Some people were saying, should we try and move some of these people over to NXT proper? Which is why we had, for example, Imperium, who were sort of stranded over there, being used as frequently as they were. At the moment, the NXT UK brand is about as safe as can be. They are setting up in the BT Sport studios. They have an agreement with BT Sport for that, and BT have been incredibly accommodating and have received some pretty high class interviews for that. Even today, we have people in the media there at the actual BT Sports Studios checking out what will be the new setup, the new music. My colleague Stephanie Chase, if you don't follow her on Twitter, it's Stephanie M. Chase, reported earlier today that Nigel McGuinness will be a part of that announced team remotely. So there is definitely some news coming out. We'll see more in the coming days as interviews and reports are written up. But it's going to be pretty much exactly what NXT UK was, just without the fan base who were always there, pretty rabid. When it comes to NXT UK TakeOver Dublin, they are not expecting that show to go ahead as currently planned.
No, that certainly makes sense with that not going ahead as planned there. But no, it's exciting to see that NXT UK will be making a return soon, and I hope it does bring some positivity to the UK scene. Of course, with the pandemic and other things that have been happening over the last few months, there's some a positive step indeed. And Justin, I don't think I've ever asked you this before, but do you watch much of NXT UK before?
I have in the past. I've fallen off of it, of course, just as we have more wrestling. All of us have a lot of wrestling content to get in and watch this week. But specifically a year ago, when we were in SummerSlam with Walter and everybody doing some appearances, I was more into NXT UK. But I have fallen off a little bit, but I am looking forward to jumping back on.
The NXT UK viewership, unfortunately, is quite low. I'm not aware of anyone who dislikes the in-ring competitor competition, because the actual in-ring quality is extremely good. But when it comes to storylines and just overall excitement, unfortunately, that's quite low, and this really hasn't helped it. The only real profitable part was the takeovers. And when you look at TakeOver Blackpool, both of them, which I was in attendance for, TakeOver Cardiff, you have incredibly loud, powerful crowds, but they should be able to fill venues much bigger than Blackpool. They were not quite able to fill Cardiff, but they came very, very close. Going forward, the plan was to have more takeover events. That's why Dublin was announced. They were going up from 2 to 4, and then the plan was to start looking at maybe 5 or 6 per year and call it there. That's why we're also seeing more NXT takeovers than the standard 4 that we had. That was a plan to get profitable. At the moment, in order to get some money coming in, this is why they're at the BT Sports Studios, because they can add more advertisement for BT in with that.
Brilliant. No, it all makes perfect sense for them to be going down this route and to hopefully bring some excitement back to that brand and make it successful as it can be. But moving back to the weekend, I mean, a lot did happen this past weekend. We also had the Indie Wrestling Expo, which took place from Dallas, Texas, which was broadcast live on Fight TV. Wrestling Travel were a part of that as a sponsor. I know, Justin, you did watch both nights of the event. How did you find it?
Hey, yeah, it was an awesome, awesome event. First time put on by Fighting Words and our friend Kyle Hessler. It was not without its snafus and stuff. I just recently spoke to Kyle on Wednesday night, and we discussed the reason why the words "card subject to change" is on every wrestling poster. But it delivered. Where there were any places where somebody maybe was a no-show, we had awesome talent in there. Nobi Bryant winning the Battle Royal on night one to go on and face the NWA champion Nick Aldis on night two. They put up an awesome, awesome match. Originally, that was scheduled to be a three-way dance with Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb, unfortunately, unable to make it to Dallas. So it gave us a spectacular one-on-one match. We had a lot of people from our lockdown sessions, most notably Garrison Creed, found his way down to Texas and snuck into the Battle Royal. Ended up having a pretty decent showing there. He ended up on Saturday afternoon at Halftime Heat with an open challenge answered by Madman Fulton of Impact. What else? There's so much stuff on there. Laredo Kid, Justin Taylor versus Ryan Justin. Everything delivered. Everything that they put out delivered. And I want a special shout out to I'll throw it out to JR, a slobber knocker of a match between Jordan Grace and the daughter of the late great Terry Bam Bam Gordy, Miranda Gordy, giving it all. This is still available on Fight TV both nights, $14.99. So it's worth going back to Fight TV and watching. I don't think I gave away any results there except for the Battle Royal, but a lot of matches delivered. And what I like about things like the Independent Wrestling Expo and Warrior Wrestling, they have big names, Sam Adonis, Brian Cage, Lance Archer, but they also have these names that are the up-and-coming or the people I may have missed on the independent scene. It's a good mix. You watch any of these shows, you're happy with the guys that you're seeing on TV, the guys and girls, but you always walk away going, wow, how did this person escape my radar? Somebody like that would be a year ago seeing Sam Adonis, myself in person for the first time going, where has this guy been? And Sam is somebody who is really starting to make people talk over here. Somebody I would say is going to be signing somewhere very soon. Kurt Stallion appeared on Lockdown, just signed a WWE NXT contract. So do not sleep on the indies. Do not sleep on the stuff that Wrestling Travel supports. A lot of great talent out there yet still being discovered.
Yeah, we were very proud to support that event last weekend, indeed, and it certainly did deliver. And Wrestling Travel, of course, we do love the independent scene, and we will be proud sponsors of the 2020 Collective, as we were scheduled to be the sponsors for the 2020 Collective by GCW in Tampa over WrestleMania weekend. We'll be once again sponsoring the event, which has now been rescheduled for October 9th to October the 11th at the Marion County Fairgrounds in Indianapolis, Indiana. We cannot wait for that. All the events will be broadcast live on Fight TV, of course, with some of your favorite independent stars. And if you did have tickets for the initial Tampa Collective event and you plan to attend the event in Indianapolis, you will need to access a portal to provide your name and details to get your ticket secured there. The portal you can find through the Collective's Twitter at Collective2020. And of course, all the events will be there as they were scheduled to be in Tampa, with Joey Janela's Spring Break 4, Jimmy Lloyd's D-Generation F, plus many, many more. We're very proud to be sponsoring that, and we certainly can't wait for that in October. Moving on to another piece of news, just back to the Wrestling Expo there, when, just before it got started, actually, Mike Bennett, former Ring of Honor, WWE, New Japan star there, called out Nick Aldis for the NWA title. Me, personally, I didn't think the timing was all that well, of course, with the NWA title due to be defended at the Indie Wrestling Expo. I thought it probably could wait until the start of the week after that had happened. But what a big move for Mike Bennett there, Tom.
It is a big move. It certainly puts him back on the map in a way he hasn't been since he even started in WWE. It really, when it comes to Bennett, the road he's been through, the impact he has made everywhere apart from WWE should stand him in very good stead going forwards. He brings a lot to the table, a lot more than we've been able to see for a while. And I think this is exactly the right spot for a relaunch.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of Mike Bennett. I love what he does sort of outside of the ring as well, just with his sort of motivation and just all these things, like you said, that he's the road that he's been through is very inspiring indeed. But Justin, are you happy with that acquisition for NWA?
I'm a huge NWA fan, so I'm happy any way they can get some talent like Mike Bennett. And I don't want to take anything away from Mike Bennett and Nick Aldis, but I do want to point out that NWA champion Thunder Rosa defended her title at the Indie Wrestling Expo and also will be challenging for the AEW title this week. So NWA is coming back big, I think. And they were a force to be reckoned with last fall, and COVID, unfortunately, took its toll, but I'm so happy to see the NWA coming back. Mike Bennett versus Nick Aldis is something I will line up to see. Very exciting times. It's nice to be, after 6 months of sitting inside waiting out this COVID, I'm not saying we're out of the woods yet, but we're starting to get some things rolling in pro wrestling that I'm really, really happy about.
Yeah, of course, you got the NWA on their way back. MLW, Major League Wrestling, also announced their return as well, the restart, which will be coming in the fall. So a lot happening with these promotions as they make their way back from this difficult time. But a piece of sad news that happened this week. Mauro Ranallo and WWE parting ways this week, Moro has had some personal issues with an illness with his mother and other things there. But Tom, you're a fan of Moro, and of course, will NXT be the same without him?
I can say very confidently that NXT will be nowhere near the same without him. Mauro's very passionate, very strong vocals have been the voice of NXT for a long time. However, NXT before Mauro did survive as well, so I'm sure it will move into its new phase and continue as it were. I wish Mauro all the best in whatever he does next. I know that his time in WWE was unfortunately fraught with a number of issues. And ultimately, if he feels this is the right move, and if WWE feel this is the right move, it probably is the right move for both parties involved. So all the best tomorrow, and I look forward to hearing him on the airwaves again.
Yeah, no, an absolutely fabulous commentator for wrestling. I've also heard him a number of times through boxing as well. And also, I absolutely love his advocacy for mental health as well. A really big advocate for that. Justin, Moro Ranallo, were you a fan of his commentary?
Yeah. I mean, there's not too many commentators that I say, oh, I love this comment. It's usually more, I think when you talk about a wrestling fan, it's who we don't like more than who we do. He's not anybody that I follow really closely. I know, hasn't he been in and out with WWE over the last number of years? So I guess when I, without following him very closely, I guess when I read that he was back out again with WWE, it was something I just kind of, okay, I read it and that's where it was. But am I right or wrong?
He hasn't necessarily been in and out. He's taken some time off and he's moved brands a bit, but he has always been in WWE.
Okay. I thought there was something where he had quit before or something. So, okay. I'm happy with the announcing that they have now, and I wish him nothing but the best. Do we know where he goes next?
We don't know for certain. By the looks of it, he'll go back into MMA coverage. That seems to be where he has found a home most often. But at this point, I think we would need to know more about the issues in question. And I'm not going to go chasing the guy over him personally. I know some people will and will undoubtedly get the information. But for now, anyone listening to this, my way of doing this always is to encourage people to, we've got the news now. Let the guy be. We'll see him when we see him.
Yeah, we certainly will. And I think he also has a sort of long-term contract with Showtime Boxing as well. So we'll certainly be seeing him in the future when things get going there. But we do wish him all the best. And of course, his family all the best as well with the issues there. It's also this week, of course, we had this 60-minute Iron Man 4-way for the NXT title. Tom, what did you think of that match and the outcome?
The outcome was a bit baffling, gotta say. When you get a match like that, you know it's going to be good, especially with those four people in a 60-minute format. They can do incredible things in ring. The problem is we've seen them on that particular stage for a while now, and we're very aware of most of their offense. There wasn't that much variation to it. We got a very high quality match, and I expected Finn Balor to go all the way. I still expect Finn Balor to go all the way, but we will have to now wait longer to do it. It's a shame.
Yeah, no, I do think Finn will end up getting the title there. But Justin, did you manage to catch the 60-minute 4-way?
I caught the last 15 minutes. Unfortunately, when I do the lockdown sessions, usually Wednesday night at 7 p.m. seems to be a prime slot for everybody. Again, four great talents, but this will be disclaimer, my personal opinion. So this, my opinion does not represent Wrestling Travel or anybody of you guys that I'm talking to, but to try to spread this out over 2 weeks, it just screams to me a little bit of desperation to try to keep these ratings up against AEW when there really should be. To me, not to open up another can of worm, to me, they're two totally different products. We've got a wrestling, awesome pro wrestling product going on. We've got another pro wrestling product that is heavy on bringing in different forms of entertainment in, where I think, hey, we should have had that clear-cut winner, and we could have developed into another storyline to continue that momentum through this week. They just lose me when stuff like that happens, where we should have had a definitive winner, and now we're going to move into next week. But it's going to be an awesome match, though, Finn and Cole. So what am I bitching about, really? I'll shut up and let you guys talk.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about there, Justin. It certainly got me all excited for next week. But, you know, everyone's opinion is different, but I think it is going to be a great match next week. Indeed. Of course, AEW aired Wednesday in their usual spot. NXT was on Tuesday this week, but we have AEW returning to pay-per-view this weekend. And for customers or for fans outside of the US, you're able to watch it on Fight TV. We currently have a competition running on our Twitter for you to get a free code for that event. So if you want to check that on our Twitter page there. But Tom, looking forward to All Out this weekend.
Looking forward to it, yeah. I think they've built quite a different card. There's a lot of diversity in the matches that they're delivering. It's a shame for me that we're going to get the big return match for Britt Baker and it's going to be on the pre-show. But ultimately, I'm interested to see what on earth the Mimosa match is going to be. And I think we have a very, very interesting AEW championship match. I don't necessarily think MJF is going to come out the winner. I think Lance Archer is the next big name that's going to be actually another shot at it. But it is a very exciting match between two people at the top of their game right now.
Yeah, some big matches indeed. And Justin, are you excited to see Thunder Rosa on AEW this weekend?
Well, I was just going to say, you just kind of stole my thunder. I am really excited to see Thunder Rosa on AEW. She's a great talent. And I wanted to be kind of a smartass too and go, obviously, the big match this weekend on AEW is the Mimosa Mayhem. That is where all the eyes are going to be this weekend. Oh wait, there's titles and stuff there too. Yeah, whoops, sorry.
So you go on about waiting for the next week of NXT, and then you're looking forward to this on AEW. Yeah, no, that's fair enough. But yeah, if you want to be a part of an AEW event in the future, Wrestling Travel has just launched our Double or Nothing 2021 packages for Las Vegas in May 2021. As they lead into the summer next year. If you are from the UK, you can get your round trip flights, four-star hotel overlooking the Las Vegas Strip, your tickets to the event itself at the MGM Grand Arena. There will be some parties, there will be some guests, and of course, as always, we do have our payment plans for you to be able to spread that cost up until 8 weeks before the event. Check that out now on Wrestling Travel's website there. That certainly should be a great weekend in Vegas indeed. But moving on to, let's have a look on Impact Wrestling. We have a new Impact Wrestling champion, Eric Young. Tom, what did you think of him capturing the title this week?
Impact have been sort of surfing a big wave of momentum since bringing in some of the released WWE superstars. And in addition, they've been using them relatively well. Deonna Purrazzo went straight up to the top, but other than her, not that many people who don't have that much history of Impact have been featured that strongly. If you want the big statement, you could have put anyone on top and gave them the championship. But ultimately, I think they made the right choice in Eric Young. Someone who for years has been synonymous with Impact Wrestling and someone who still has a lot to offer as a leader, like just really leading a locker room. He has a lot to offer. So I'm happy with the change. He now should be working to put over a lot of different people. They do have a lot of talent in Impact, and I'm really hoping they don't focus all of their attention on recent releases. But they do have a lot of people on the up, as it were, from Impact. And if they can give them the attention they deserve, this will do very good for Impact going forwards in their hunt to become the number two wrestling promotion in the world. There is a lovely fight going on at the moment that I really can't take my eyes off between AEW, Impact, and New Japan for that number two spot.
Yeah, no, one to keep an eye out there moving forward. And Justin, Eric Young as the new Impact Wrestling Champion, what are your thoughts on that?
I love Eric Young. I love his everything he does in the ring, and more importantly, what a super great dude outside of the ring. Was able to meet up with him at a show in Pennsylvania probably 5-6 years ago. Super respectful dude outside of the ring. I'm just happy that he is going to, you know, on this part of his career, he's been working hard for a long time, and it's nice to see him back at the top again. So I'm all about Eric Young.
Yeah, we're all very happy to see him back at the top, like you say there. And Impact still gathering momentum week by week with their product as well. We're very, very happy to see them rising back up and becoming great once again. The Pro Wrestling Illustrated 500 came out this week. Also, John Moxley, as predicted, was in that number one spot. Tom, were there any takes that you got from the PWI 500 that surprised you, or was it as you expected?
It was pretty much as I expected. There was a lot of people who came up significantly and a few people who went down, AJ Styles being a notable one I mentioned last week, I believe. John Moxley at top, Adam Cole nipping at his heels. That's about right for the last 12 months for me. When it comes to the biggest names who've made the most impact, you can't say anyone other than Moxley deserves that top spot, in my opinion. So I wouldn't say I was too surprised by it. I like that there was a lot more variation to it. When you look further down the list, you start to see names you've never seen before, and that for me is a very good thing. It shows that despite the changing status of the world, people are still finding a way to make themselves heard, make themselves known, and ostensibly grab that brass ring. So happy with the listing. No particular surprises, but I think Moxley's going to have to work extremely hard to hold on to that top spot, especially with certain changes such as Roman Reigns aligning with Paul Heyman.
Justin, you expected to see Mox at the top?
You know, when we started talking about it last week, I always walk myself into a corner and go, well, shoot, I don't know who is going to be number one, but they certainly, you know, when I look at it, I'm like, yep, that looks pretty good. Well, what I'd like to point out is on the lockdown sessions on Wrestling Travels YouTube, 14 at my last count of these people in the 500 so far have been interviewed on the lockdown sessions. Our highest rated is number 31, and a Wrestling Travel, kind of one of our favorite guys, PCO. All the way down, we had a number 494 from last week's Expo, Moonshine Mantel, and everybody in between. So it's really exciting to look through. I look through that every year I could, and look at that 500, and now it's nice to go. I can look at that 500 and see who we are interacting with, and to look at who are the next stars coming up. So very exciting time. I'm disappointed with a few of there. I'll let you talk about it, a few of the people that were included on there. But otherwise, good job.
Yeah, no, good job indeed. But yeah, there were some questionable things that did get put to print on that PWI list, which we will leave for another time. But yeah, always great to see that come out and see what the rankings are there. Another interesting point from this week, which I keep seeing popping up on my Twitter and things of that nature, is Tyson Fury repeatedly calling out Drew McIntyre. Tom, is there any plans for that match to happen anytime soon?
At the moment, no. I believe this is the first time I've talked about it, but you guys get the exclusive here. At the moment, Tyson Fury is not contracted to wrestle in WWE. That's at the moment. There is no intention for a Drew McIntyre versus Tyson Fury fight, primarily because of their inability to move different places. It's not booked into storyline. However, Drew McIntyre has this wonderful way of picking fights. He picked a fight with Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury recognized that he could make a lot of money and was excited to do this. He's met Drew McIntyre, of course. They seem to get along well. They want to do the match, and I'm confident they will be able to talk the WWE into making it happen.
No, fantastic. I believe Tyson's got a few contracts as well, because he's boxing in the future as well. But Justin, would you like to see Fury again in a WWE ring?
I'd like to see whatever anybody can do, and anything that's going to bring, you know, somebody from the outside of the professional wrestling world, bring more eyes on the product, then I'm all for it.
Fantastic. Yep. Of course, we'll see how that feud pans out there over the socials there, but they have been certainly going at it the last few days from what I've seen appearing on my feeds. But Warrior Wrestling are returning this month with a stadium series. Three incredible shows: Saturday, September 12th, September 19th, and September 26th at the Marion Catholic High School in Chicago Heights, Illinois. Tickets are available at warriorwrestling.net. All of Warrior Wrestling favorites, Brian Cage, Brian Pillman Jr., even Alex Shelley, TJP, Kylie Ray, amongst others, will be appearing there. Make sure you check that out. And of course, wrestling travel will be a part of that, as always, there. But that does conclude our podcast, episode 9. Next week, the milestone, episode 10. I think we're going to have to do something really special for this one next week. But we'll certainly come up with something there. Maybe if we did the live one, as we discussed off camera, see how that goes for the 10th podcast anniversary. But Tom, as always, thank you for joining us. And where, of course, can we find you for your analysis and news?
You can find me on Twitter. That's at Colohue, C-O-L-O-H-U-E. You can also find me on the Sports Keeda Facebook page, where I'm doing a lot of live work at the minute, including a Monday Night Raw preview, which is 5 p.m. UK time or 12 noon EST in the US. You can also find us on a post show immediately after SmackDown, where last week we had a very impressive 21,000 views for our live show there. Thank you to everyone for that. You can also find me on my personal YouTube, where I do Sunday night shows and a Friday SmackDown preview, which is just my name, youtube.com/TomColohue. I do want to say a special thank you to the both of you, wrestling traveler in general, but especially you, Sir Justin, who made it your personal mission last week to take me over the top for 10,000 Twitter followers, which I reached, and then some. Thank you to you. Thank you to you, Danny, and thank you to Wrestling Travel.
No, we're absolutely delighted to see you, of course, get your target there of 10,000 and more. And we certainly know that it's only going to get bigger for you there, Tom, and we can't wait to see you you rise even more. But Justin, any last words?
No, very well-deserved march to 10K. We talked last week, and I couldn't see Tom. I couldn't see you sitting there so close, and I had to do whatever I could just to try to, you know, help you out one subscriber at a time. So very happy. Looking forward to AEW this weekend. Not necessarily the Mimosa match, which was a bit of a joke earlier on, but I'm really looking forward to these tag team title with FTR versus Paige and Omega. Wrestling is just slowly bubbling here in the US, and it's so nice that we have a podcast that we can talk about all this stuff. It's nice going into this going, where the hell do we start? There's so much stuff going on, so happy that we're covering as much as we can. And like I always say, get on over, if you're not following Colohue on Twitter, you're missing out on a lot of information. So looking forward to episode X next weekend or next week.
Yep. We certainly cannot wait. Episode 10, as we said, we'll make it as special as it can possibly be. And we hope you all stay safe. Enjoy AEW this weekend. I believe also there is GCW available as well on Fight and Absolute Intense Wrestling as well. So plenty more wrestling going on this weekend. We hope you enjoy and we'll see you next week.